The time hath come. That's right. The time has come to gather up here at the Parish of the Patriots. Really excited about this week's show. 145th installment. They just keep clicking off. We're going to be at 200 before you know it, God willing. Glad you joined us this week. No doubt we've got the Thanksgiving. This is the Thanksgiving show. Because see, what happens, these holidays come up and I forget about them. And then it's like the holiday comes and goes. So it'd be like normally after Thanksgiving. And then I do a show. It's like, oh, by the way, it was Thanksgiving. Hope you had a good one. You know, but this week I was thinking in advance. And so yeah, this kind of the, I guess it's kind of the Thanksgiving show, if you would. Now, with that in mind, before I forget, because I'll get on a roll, you know me, I'll get on a roll and I'll forget. I am going to be out and about. So next week, there will be no gathering the Parish of the Patriots. I know it's disappointing for all of us, but it's just a 1 week break. Don't worry, we will be back. We're not shutting it down. We're just going to a little short break, trying to take care of other things and doing, you know, my own personal things. So it's all good, but we won't be here next week. So don't freak out when you tune in next Tuesday. Be like waiting in anxious anticipation for the gathering. And it's like, well, what is this? It's like a repeat. It's like if you watch anime and you're all excited because they left you with that cliffhanger, and then the next episode comes out and you see it's that, you know, 0.5, it's that 6.5, and you know what that means. It's a recap. You tune in next week and it's like it's a recap episode. It's like I wanted to hear the new Parish of the Patriots. Don't worry, it'll be back the following week. But yeah, just wanted to make that programming note, because like I say, I'll forget otherwise if I didn't get it right away. And of course, as always, I like to remind everybody, the show, there's nothing behind a paywall. There's no special subscriptions. It's all for free. But your support is, their voluntary support is very much appreciated. As I like to say, because it has such a ring, don't be shy, pay those tithes. It does mean a lot. And I really do enjoy hearing from you. The listener supporter mailbag is one of my favorite things. I sit and read through these things before I do the show. Because, I mean, the long ones, I have to edit them down. You understand that. And ones that have a lot of stuff that, like, if somebody said, oh, wow, you know, that sounds just like this guy I know. You know, I try to keep any kind of personal information, but I do read the entire things and it means a lot. And usually I wind up very, very humbled by these things. If you want to be a part of financially supporting the show, and you can find that information at the bottom of the description page. We got snail mail. We got Bitcoin. We got Monero. Got my email address down there. So you can holler at me. If you got another cryptocurrency, give me a holler. I can more than likely get you an address from that. We can do that. So fear not. And with that having been said, let's get right off into the listener supporter mailbag for this week. Let's see here. From Mr. T. Good to hear from Mr. T again. Haven't heard from Mr. T for a while. I know you've got some things going on. Hope everything works out for you. See, I know what's going on with a lot of the parishioners. More of what's going on with the parishioners than many of you think. Anyway, GPD is small tithe, but hopefully it all adds up. Yes, it does all add up, and it is very much appreciated. We're going to keep rocking through our listener supporter mailbag. Now, I said earlier before that I like wind up editing these down, and like for instance, this one's from Brian. Very much appreciated, Brian. And like I pretty much edited most of it out because there's, but always rest assured, I do sit and read the whole things and consider what your people are saying. I just, again, things that I could, if I read this whole thing, somebody could be like, I know a guy named Brian, and this sounds like him to a T. I'm not doxing y'all. I'm not going to do that. Hey, old brother, as always, I hope this finds you and your family your family well. I'm sorry. God has taught me a lot about being on his timetable and waiting on him. I do hope all is well, and I wish you all the best. And that's from Brian. And yes, as far as winterizing go, you got to find a way, because this is the personal stuff that I didn't share. You got to find a way to keep that wind from going under there. If you can do that, got half the battle won. And finally, and yes, I just paused and took a sip of my coffee. It was hotter than I anticipated. Whew, we may have to stop the show. Sorry, that's all the show you're getting this week. I burned my mouth with the coffee. Let's see. Finally, early season's greetings to you and yours, GPD. I'd just like to thank you for the way you explain the Bible, Scripture. The way you break it down makes it completely understandable in ways that are not at all obvious at first, but actually can be a bit baffling. Also, your take on world events and insights into our struggle are truly enlightening, and thought-provoking and helped me to see topics from a slightly different perspective, one that I hadn't considered before. I must confess to plagiarizing one or two of your phrases, and that's fine, by the way. Y'all, the truth is the truth. I have no copyright on my stuff, so I mean, the truth is the truth. If y'all are welcome to share the truths you find on this show, it's no problem. Anyway, I've taken to plagiarizing one or two of your phrases. I've taken to referring to the contemporary fraudulent church as the MCC, which I take pleasure in explaining the meaning of to people when they ask why, before giving you full credit, of course. Sick of clown world, sick of the cucks, and sick of the sheep. All the best, and God bless you. Regards, Red Pilled in Vienna. Very much appreciated. And of course, like I say, I have to edit for time, so there is more here. But I do, rest assured, I do read the whole thing, and very humbled. Very much appreciated. And yes, the MCC, the Modern Cup Church, for those of you, by the way, who might be new, we have to always consider the new listeners and be like, MCC, what's that stand for? I don't want to have to go back. We'll have to go back and figure that out. MCC, the Modern Cup Church, they are deserving of all scorn. They're deserving of all mockery. So it is. It's all good because it's all fake. You know, from time to time, I've had people ask me, because like I say, if you are new here, if you stick around, we will have a Christian-specific segment of sermon, if you would. Usually around about the halfway mark. It's never exact. Sometimes a little later than halfway, sometimes a little earlier. But around the halfway mark, shall we do this Christian-specific segment? One thing you're going to learn real quick is it's not anything you're going to go into a church and hear. And I get asked from time to time because one of the things that sets it apart is the fact that, yes, it's the only, I guess you would say, preaching that you would ever hear, that there will be from time to time some profanity laced in there. And I've had people ask me about that and be like, well, I really like it, but why do you do that? I'm really off put by that. And it's a funny thing. So I'll do spoilers here and take a moment to explain why I do that. I've done that before, explained it, but you know, there is a reason. It's not like I can't communicate without doing that. There is a reason I do that. That's because I find the MCC, the Modern Cup Church, so contemptible that it's like when I do throw the occasional, I call bullshit, bullshit, and I use those words, it's to remind and really set a line apart that we are not them. I mean, would you rather have the truth and somebody tell you that something is bullshit when it's bullshit? Or would you rather have somebody use very nice and polite language and smile at you while they butter your bread with a bunch of, well, bullshit, while they lie to you? I've attended the MCC before in years past, before we were at where we're at now. Many years ago, I have attended regular old MCC church, and I literally saw people like advocating for things in the church. You know, I mean, they were like at the front of the line, pounding the table, talking about how the church, we need to do this. We need to do this as a church. We need to do this. And it's like, I'm over here in the little tiny group going, no, I think that's a bad idea. Oh, y'all get over there. Y'all shut up. And then when the whole thing went to hell, because those over in the small group were right, when it all goes down the drain, I've seen it. Those very same people that were at the front of the line advocating it are standing there smiling and talking to you and acting like they were always against it as well. Just like nothing ever happened. Just they weren't like, yeah, we were for that, but now I realize that was wrong. I mean, that's fine. Everybody can be wrong. No, they acted like they never were for it. Like all of those times they stood up there and said, this is what we need to do. They acted like that never happened. Lying. Modern Cup Church, they put the smile on, they talk politely and they dress nicely and they make their words sound so nice while they fill you full of shit. While they talk about Jesus is love, Jesus is love, Jesus is love. And they don't talk anything about judgment. They don't talk anything about justice. They don't talk anything about what righteousness is. They never mention repentance. So you wind up with this spectacle of believers that are up there doing things like you see them and they put them on TV. And it's like this unrepentant murderer killed their child. And they're like, well, I forgive him because that's what Jesus would have you do. No, that's not the way it works. We are supposed to be as Christians. I'm not getting preaching early, by the way, but as Christian believers, we're supposed to be Christ-like. And if there's no repentance involved, Christ ain't forgiving you. He's casting you into hell. It's a spectacle. Oh, I forgive them because that's what Jesus... No, he wouldn't. He's unrepentant. Anyway, yes. Utter disdain for the MCC. But it is Thanksgiving show, and as I sit here and consider, I think we're going to push pretty much all the Thanksgiving-type topics. We're going to push that forward into the Christian-specific segment here in a bit. And like I say, if you're new around here, from time to time, I have people that say, well, the Christianity thing isn't my deal, but I listen to the Christian specific segment because I do find it interesting. So if you're not a believer and you are new, you might want to stick around for it. You might get something out of it, or don't. I don't give a shit. But anyway, rocking on, rocking on with our general discussion this week. Of course, the big news this past week, I'm recording this show this week on Saturday. So yesterday, you know, the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict finally came down, not guilty on all counts, which it's ridiculous that it ever went to trial in the first place. It was observably self-defense. And it amazes me how people get caught up in losing the topic. This is one of the things I've always found scary. You know, you get a jury trial and people say, well, you get a jury of your peers, but you don't really. You know, you get a jury trial and people say that's supposed to be your hope. But when you come to realize that most people are morons, most people are idiots, a jury trial is very scary. But of course, the judges, the judiciary is so corrupt. Now, this it amazed me in this trial, and things I found amazing about this trial. It's like the judge didn't get the memo. The prosecutors went up there looking to basically put on a show trial. And like the judge, nobody gave the judge the memo. And he's like actually following the law. And you see the prosecution looking more and more inept and more baffled because they thought that they were going to be able to just do some kind of kangaroo show trial. And it didn't work because the judge is actually trying to hold them to the law and actually follow the rules. And it wound up becoming a spectacle. But no, I mean, the judiciary by and large is corrupt. And yeah, oh, you get a jury of your peers, but most people are morons. Most people are morons because people get caught up in this. Well, he should have never been down there in the first place. He shouldn't have. Well, yeah, I mean, yes, that was bad judgment. He shouldn't have gone down there. If he was my child, if he was my son, I would have said, no, don't go down there. That's stupid. No, you're not doing that. But that's not what was at question. That was not at hand. You had people be like, I can't believe it. He went down there. He had no business going down there. None of that would have happened if he hadn't gone down there. I actually saw someone with that reaction. I was in a store yesterday, and somebody worth the store came out and said they just found Kyle Rittenhouse not guilty on all charges. And you have this guy standing there, customer in the store standing there, and this is like, you know, he doesn't look like some, I don't know, soft lefty kind of, he's a working type of person. You would look at this guy and be like, he's a working blue collar type of person. He's got common sense. This guy's like, you gotta be kidding me, he went down there with a freaking gun. People are idiots. Like, what? Okay, so we're supposed to just say that we have certain areas that if violent communists take them over and start burning it, you're not allowed to go there. They just, this surrender mentality. No, I'm not saying he should have gone. Nobody thinks he should have gone down. I'm sure he doesn't think, you know, in hindsight, he realizes he shouldn't have never gone down there in the first place. His life's been turned upside down. He's got notoriety that he never wanted. He's just been rung through the legal, not knowing whether or not he's going to be sent to prison. Yeah, I'm sure in hindsight, he's like, man, I wish I wouldn't have gone down there and done that. But how do you have this mentality? Like, we just surrender. If the violent communists decide to start burning the bitch down, then we have to surrender and give that ground to them. This guy probably agrees with the prosecutor. Sometimes you just got to get your head bashed in. Sometimes you just got to lay there and be kicked in the face. How dare you shoot bullets back at them? What the hell is wrong with people? I don't know. People are morons. I thought, what if that guy was on your jury? And he thinks the question is whether it was a good idea to go down there. No, the question is whether you have the right to pretty much go where you want to in this country. And B, if people attack you, do you have the right to defend yourself? Not whether you should have been there. This would be like, oh, some gal walked into the wrong part of town at the wrong time of night, dressed the wrong way, and got her dumb ass gang raped. And you bring the guys into trial, are you going to find them not guilty of the brutal gang rape? Because, well, she shouldn't have been there in the first place. Well, no, yeah, I mean, she shouldn't have been there in the first place for sure. But at the same time, that's not the question before the jury, is it? The question before the jury is, did these guys brutally gang rape her? And you send them to prison for that. We're going to just let them off because that stupid bitch shouldn't have been there to begin with. Same mentality. I don't have any faith in a jury because people are stupid. This is why we can't have nice things. These people are moronic. They always look for a reason to surrender. I think that people, like, I don't know. One thing I've noticed is that people that are, like, cowardly really hate people that aren't. And they'll dress it up with all kinds of justification, and they'll get more and more vehement about it. But I think it really comes down to people like that are deep down inside. They know they're cowards. They know that they go along with what they're told to do. They roll over. They surrender. And deep in their hearts, they justify it. They tell themselves all sorts of things. They tell everyone around them all sorts of things. At the end of the day, they know in their heart of hearts they're cowards. They're chicken shits. And it really eats at them. And the one thing they can't stand is people who aren't. I'm not talking about Kyle Rittenhouse. I'm not saying people got to go down in the middle of a riot with a rifle. That's not what I'm saying. I'm applying this as we're talking about just a general topic. I think that's why you see this real vehement, hateful attitude towards the unvaccinated by the people who have submitted and taken the vaccine. I mean, you know, beyond how many, I mean, granted, these things get put out there and there's people that just aren't online. You know, they don't get put out in public, you know, that just have a whatever attitude. But you see all these people like posting stuff online or whatever, and they're vaccinated and they're not just like, well, I took the vaccine, but I don't think other people really have to. You know, they're not like that, are they? They have this like vehement hatred. You know, I hope you all die from the COVID. Well, you're just, the reason my vaccine isn't working is because you people aren't taking it. The reason I'm having chest pains and blood clots is because you didn't take your vaccine or whatever. But you have this real, like, hateful, spiteful attitude, you know? And it doesn't go the other way. The people that are, you know, not taking the vaccine because they're not submitting to this mark of the beast. They all have a spiteful attitude by and large to the vaccinated, but the vaccinated, you see this real hateful attitude. And I think it's because they know they're cowards. They submitted. They did it because they were told to. They did it because they didn't want to be inconvenienced. They did it because they're afraid. And they can't stand those who aren't. They can't stand those who aren't weak of spirit. It reminds them and it really grates on their nerves, and they really want the power of authority to come down and just mash those people in the boot in the face so that they can point and say, see, that's what happens. I'm not a coward. I'm a smart. You're just stupid. You're getting a boot in your face. Better to have a boot in your face with your dignity than to be crawling around kissing somebody's ass while you surrender all of your self-respect. Well, yeah, of course, inflation, that continues to be a thing. I was watching a little snippet of the news the other morning, and it's so funny because, of course, they're idiots, too. I mean, they just read off of whatever's put in front of them. But they were talking about the inflation, and yeah, they denied inflation for years, and now it's so bad they just finally can't deny it anymore. You know, they can't say it's all in your head. Prices aren't going up. But they were doing a deal, and they were talking about the price of gas going up, and the talking head on TV was reassuring us they're pumping up oil production. The price of gas is going to go back down. And of course, then they gave you all their bullshit reasons of why the price of gas has been going up in the first place. And you know, it's all bullshit. And then they move right into a story about, oh, and by the way, the price of groceries is going up. Of course, they had no justification for the price of groceries going up. They had a justification excuse for the price of gas going up. Well, why is the price of everything going up? You had this niche excuse of why gas is going up. And they ignore the blatant, obvious flip side of the coin, which means the dollar is plummeting in value. It's plummeting in value against gas. It's plummeting in value against food. It's plummeting in value against automobiles. It's plummeting in value against real estate. This thing is tanking. It's going down. They never talk about what this means is your dollar is worth less. It's going down. People are dumping them. People don't want them. They're going down in value. Going down, they don't talk about that. They try to act like each thing going up, if the price of eggs going up, well, it has to be because of this little isolated reason. The price of gas is going up, it's because of this little isolated reason. You see, there can't be like something, I don't know, tying it all together. Like maybe the fact that what over the last two or three years they've created more money than has been created all through the history of the entire country, over 200 years of history. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Price of the dollar, value of the dollar is going down. But don't worry. It's because things are... That's my favorite part of this lie. Is they say that the reason we're having all these problems, all of these issues, is because people just have so much money. They just have so much money. They don't know what to do with it all. I don't know about y'all, but I ain't got that problem. How many of y'all listen to the show are like, man, I got all this. I'm just really worried. I got all this money in my bank account, and I just don't know what to do with it. Things are so good. I'm at a loss. What do I do? We're at this point, they think they can really just speak a new reality in existence. If they say it, then it's real. It's, of course, more absurd. More absurdity, more clown world. Again, it's hard to deal with. I was speaking to Cato recently. If y'all caught our Albion Insight show when I sat down and visited with Cato, but I was talking just a private conversation with Cato recently, and we were talking about, you know, these people you run into in real life, you know, you deal with in real life, and I was saying, you know, it's like those of us who've been following this trajectory for a while, we're not surprised by this, but we're at this point now that things have gotten so bad. That all these people that were in denial now, you know, all those people that have spent years up to this point being in denial, you know, like 2-3 years ago when people like us were saying they're all going to call you Nazis. You're all going to be Nazis before it's done. And they were like, oh, you're so stupid. No, they're not. And here we are. Here we are. Kyle Rittenhouse was a white supremacist, right? I mean, they're all Nazis. Things have gotten so bad now. Things have gotten so bad now that now they can't deny reality. And now you have all these normicon type peoples. And like all of a sudden things are so bad, they can't deny it. And they act like we're at where we're at just suddenly. You know, you talk to these people, you know, you're out there. You work among these people. Try to keep your patience. You really should. You got to try to keep your patience. It's hard. I know. But they act like this just sprung up out of the ground. Like, you know, a year ago, everything was fine, but now all of a sudden, everything's crazy. They just can't wrap their minds around. They act like this just came up out of nowhere. Like there was nothing leading up to this, you know, like nothing led up to this. Just all of a sudden, the house is on fire. They've ignored the smoldering light socket for 6 months. The smoke coming out, the smell of burning wire insulation. They've ignored that for 6 months and said, no, everything's fine. But now the house is on fire and they're like, how did this happen? They don't know. I don't know. I have no clue. But they have this. They have this. And now all of a sudden they realize, you know, wow, what's going on? Something's wrong. And they act like, well, we can fix this. Like, Joe Biden. It's just because Joe Biden's in there. If we can just vote harder next time, Trump's coming back in 2024. We'll fix this. It's like if you had a car and, you know, the car is sitting there with a blown engine. There's a connecting rod hanging out of it. There's a hole in the side of the block the size of your fist, oil puddle underneath of the car. And these people are sitting around going, well, if we throw a new set of spark plugs in it and maybe change out the alternator, it'll be fine. And we're all sitting here going, no, the motor's blown. You're not going to tinker with it now. You're not going to tinker with it and tune up. Maybe if we'd changed the oil, oh, I don't know, 100,000 miles ago, maybe we wouldn't be in this position, but that's all gone now. The motor's blown. There's a hole in the side of the block. All the oil has run out. What could run out because it was the consistency of paste. But we're beyond, you're going to tinker with it and tune it up and fix it and everything will go back to normal. But that's the mindset that these people have. They can't wrap their minds around it. This is new world to them. New world. If we just vote a little harder, we just got to get some better judges or something. And we just, it's America. We just got to tinker with the system. We'll tune it up. They don't understand. Don't understand. This is where we're at. All of those things that they let go over decades, over generations, that they said, well, that won't matter. Well, it's not that big a deal. Let's not worry about that. Well, let's just let them have that. All of that has now added up. And those things grew. They went from here to where we are at now. It's like when you read these stories And, you know, people read this story and it's like, oh, China's cracking down on people doing this, that, or the other. And people are like, why are they doing that? That is such a little thing. Because they got the smarts to look and see where we're at today. And they look back and say, well, it started when they let this little thing go. When they let this take a root. It's called nipping it in the bud. They're nipping that shit in the bud. We didn't do that. And look where we're at now. Clown World didn't just pop up overnight. You don't walk out there and your yard is just covered in ragweeds. Now there's no grass. You just big old ass ragweeds in your yard. Well, where did this happen? You know, it's like when you have people and you see these people on TV or whatever. And this some bitch weighs like 800 pounds, you know, like they have to use a crane to get his fat ass out of the house. They got to cut a hole in the wall to dig this big fat tub of shit out of the house. And the guy is acting like, well, I don't know how this happened. How did he, you know, like it just happened. Like it just woke up one. You don't wake up one day and you're 800 pounds. You wake up one day and you're a little overweight. You wake up the next day and you're getting to be a lot more overweight. But see, they failed to address that. And now this fat tub of shit is 800 pounds and they're using a crane to drag his ass out of the house. That's how we are. That's how this country is. Over the years, we let this go. Nobody wants to stand up for that. Oh, well, let's be tolerant. Oh, well, let's just let them have that. What could it hurt? What could it hurt? It'll all be good. Well, here we are. Now everybody's acting like, how did this happen? How did this happen? Just sucked by magic. It's probably because Joe Biden's in there. It's Joe Biden's in there. Be patient. Really, you got to be patient. Be patient, people. I know it's hard. It's hard. You know, when you've been following this stuff for years, you know, and you've been warning about it for years, and now these people have all woke up and acted like, you know, suddenly they realize the house is on fire, you know. And you're talking to these people, you know, and you're going to know what I'm talking about. And they're like, well, let me tell you. And you know what's coming. They're fixing to lay down some radical AM talk radio red pills on you, you know, and you're just like gritting your teeth like, oh, God, please. No, you know, and it's like, well, I was listening to AM talk radio and I bet you didn't know this, but, you know, all of these politicians are owned by the Chinese or whatever, you know, and it's just like, oh, cringe. It's hard to be patient. They're trying. I guess there's. Something to be said for trying. It's a little late now, a little late to be trying to get up to speed. But I guess maybe better late than never. I don't know. Talking about the Kyle Rittenhouse, like I thought it was funny. Do you see where the judge threw MSNBC out of the courtroom because one of their reporters or whatever was running around chasing the jury bus trying to dox the jurors. To try to so that they could be threatened to get the verdict they want. It's it's a good thing we had this free press. You have these people on social media that are openly like calling for killing people, openly talking about killing Kyle Rittenhouse, openly threatening the jury. Jury intimidation is now apparently legal in this country. It's really something for those of us who, you know, you said this, that, or the other, if someone stood on their head and closed one eye, that could be considered an incitement to some form of hatred and violence. And you guys have people that are on social media, haven't been banned, openly calling for killing people, openly threatening jurors in an ongoing court case, but that's okay, they're not being banned. That's apparently not against the terms of service. It's really hard to take, you know. It's just hard to wrap your mind around that things are now this corrupt. Things are that, if you only knew how bad it really is. The Kyle Rittenhouse thing was really botched from the start. He was supposed to be killed, and that would promote the narrative of see how scary these people are, and you better just stay out of the way. This is an ongoing narrative they try to promote. That's why when they would do those things, and they'll probably soak them up again at some point, you know, they always try to do them in areas where they know they'll get free reign because they got to promote the narrative. They've got to promote the narrative that this is a scary bunch. And I think Kyle Rittenhouse, the script was he was supposed to be killed to reinforce that narrative. And that didn't work out. Obviously, he defended himself and that didn't work out. So then they had to jump because somebody was asking me the other day, why do you think the prosecution even brought charges? Because they just look stupid. And someone asked me why that is. And I think the reason was because when the whole plan to have him executed, remember the guy that got executed in Portland, I believe it was, you know, the guy in the MAGA hat. And like you watch the video and it's obviously a planned hit. Like they just murdered the guy to promote this scary narrative, you know, and I think Kyle Rittenhouse was probably supposed to be executed like that as well. When that didn't work and he defended himself. Well, then they tried to jump the narrative to, yes, but if you defend yourself, the government will come down on you and put you in prison for it. So you see, it's still scary. And now that didn't work out either. I think they're just going to let this one die on the vine. At some point, you got to cut your losses. You know, you got to cut your losses and just say that narrative didn't work out. Go ahead and have the media bury it. Let's move on to the next thing. Let's move on to the next stage of the narrative. It was an amazing thing talking about that case. One of the things I found amazing, because I just watched snippets. I don't have the time to sit here like and watch the whole thing live as it happens. So I just watched the same kind of sound bites and stuff that you do. One of the things that I found amazing, though, was you had these people that were rioting, burning things, just complete mayhem, you know, and committing all sorts of crimes. I mean, there was all sorts of crimes happening. And you have this prosecutor standing up there talking, calling these people a crowd of heroes. These were heroes. Never mind, like this one guy that got shot was like a convicted pedophile. And I mean that in the literal sense, sodomizing 9-year-old boys. He's a convicted pedophile. And you've got the prosecution calling these people heroes. Now understand, in a courtroom like that, the prosecutor is representing the government. He is the government in the courtroom. Let that sink in. As a prosecutor, he's just spouting his personal opinion. He is there as a representative of the government. He is presenting the government's case. He is there. He's like the ambassador for the U.S. government. He is the ambassador in that courtroom presenting the government's case. He is the ambassador for the government. And you have the voice of the U.S. government calling these people who are assaulting people, committing crimes, convicted felons carrying firearms illegally, burning things, destroying people's property. They're calling them heroes. They're heroes. You understand? The government is saying that. When I got to say that, wasn't just the prosecutor saying that. He is speaking for the government. And he says those people are heroes. And the problem is anybody who decides to defend themselves. The problem is anybody who stands up and says, you know, we don't really think you should be able to just wantonly destroy property just anytime you want to. That's not how a society is supposed to function. Those people are the evildoers. These people, they're the heroes. And that's coming from the government. It's literally coming from the spokesperson for the government. It's amazing. It's amazing when you let that sink in. Yet if you point out that all these things that they claim they're protesting for and writing for, they always line up with what the regime wants, you know. Had that incident, I think it was out in California or whatever, like anti-vax people were attacked by, they were attacked by the Antifas. They were attacked by these communists because they dare to step outside of the narrative of the regime. And if you point out that, well, this is obviously like basically they're managed at the higher echelons by the government. they're like the unofficial militia wing for the FBI. And if you point that out and it's like, oh, you're a crazy crackpot conspiracy theorist. That's not true. But here you have the representative of the government, the spokesperson for the government, calling them heroes. They're heroes that were out there. They were heroes. Standing up for truth, justice, and the American way while they're setting cars on fire and trying to kill somebody. It is all crazy. It is all crazy. And you have to realize it's crazy. You know, you have to protect your own mind. You know, you have to protect your own, sanity. Always remember that you can't do anything about what other people do. You don't have any control over that. Keep yourself sane, you know, keep yourself centered. We're long for this ride. We just gotta ride this thing out. You know, I mean, I always say we've already gone over the cliff. We're just waiting to see who crawls out of the wreckage at the bottom. You need to just try to position yourself to where you're one of the ones that crawls out of the wreckage on the bottom. I'm going to tinker with this thing. I'm going to fix America. I'm going to turn it around. We're way past that, folks. Way past that. But hey, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, you know. It's a good opportunity to step back, unplug from all of it, spend some time with your family. And, you know, the problems around us in this world are still going to be there. It's time to, it's an opportunity, and it's okay, because sometimes I think we get caught up in thinking like we have to stay like tuned into this stuff all the time. But we don't, and it's mentally unhealthy to do so, because I don't. I mean, I do this show. We have intense discussions here. We really bear down the truth. You know, we really talk about these things, and I keep up with these things. But there are times I just unplug from it all. I don't look at the news. I don't even think about it. I tinker with whatever I have to tinker. I do work that's in front of me. I unplug from it. Thanksgiving, you have a holiday here. Got opportunity. Unplug from this crap. Spend some time with your family. Go take a trip. Go visit your elderly parents. Whatever the case may be that you can do, you know, unplug from this, gather up with your family, try to keep politics out of the discussion. We have enough of that shit. We're inundated with it 24/7. Might not be completely avoidable, but at least try not to be the one that starts it. Try to keep that out. Just try to enjoy time. Talk about little trivial things that, yeah, in the back of your mind, you're thinking it doesn't matter because society's burning to the ground anyway. Just talk about trivial things. Talk about things that don't matter. Talk about what the neighbors are up to or whatever the case may be. Unplug from this shit. Spend some time with your family. Take a breath. This is all, yes, the collapsing society will still be here when you're done. But keep your perspective. You know, and find some things to be thankful for. Like I said, we're going to kind of get into the Thanksgiving thing in our Christian specific segment. We're going to bear down on that. But, you know, just think about the things you do have to be thankful for, as bad as it is. You know, as bad as it is, you do have things to be thankful for. You're alive. And you're alive. You still got a chance to see things get better. You still got a chance to maybe improve your own life. You still got a chance to struggle and to try to figure out how to do things. You got things to be thankful for. Just unplug from this bullshit. You have my permission. Unplug from this shit for a few days. Just get back to talking about nonsense. Get back to talking about things that don't matter, about things you want to do or things you dream about. Even in the back of mind, you're thinking, well, that ain't going to be able to happen because, you know, society's collapsing. But just be a normie for a few days. Unplug from it. Enjoy some time with your family and find some things to be thankful for. It will freshen up your perspective. And as I always say, one of the things you got to do is keep your sanity. You can't let the insanity infect you. You can't let it start sucking you in, into the insanity itself. You got to keep your wits about you. I always say one of their goals here on this show is to make sure you don't lose your shit. And one of the best ways you can keep from doing that is to unplug from this. You really do. If you just stay plugged into this all the time, it'll make you nuts and you'll get weird. And I don't want y'all getting nuts. I don't want y'all getting weird on me. I love y'all. I don't want y'all getting weird. Don't be getting weird on me. Okay, I don't want y'all starting to get all strange and stuff. So unplug from it. Find some things to be thankful for. Relax. This will be here when you come back. Try to spend some time with your family and try to spend some time being thankful. So speaking of being thankful for things, we're going to be thankfully getting into our sermon this week, our Christian-specific message. So let's go ahead and do that. You know what to do. Get in there. Fill the pews, as I always say. And let's get into this week's Christian-specific message. Segment here at the Parish of the Patriots. So in our Christian-specific discussion this week, I thought we'd talk a little bit about, you know, we got Thanksgiving coming up here in a few days, and I thought we'd discuss a little bit about having a spirit, a heart of Thanksgiving, especially in these trying times. I mean, if we were living in, like, normal, non-clown world times, if you've got some years on you, such as me, you kind of remember when things weren't completely insane, but alas, those days are done. So as we live in clown world, as Christian believers, and this time of society is imploding on itself, it's very difficult to have a spirit, to have a heart of thanksgiving. But yet, we should. We have to understand the things that are going on around us, and we should have a heart of thanksgiving. So let's go ahead. We're going to head right on into some Bible reading this week, and we're kind of just, I think, stop and talk about it as we go, and talk about how we can maintain a thankful outlook. I hate to say just a positive outlook, because that kind of sounds like, you know, there's no reason to be positive, but a thankful outlook and to try to hold on to our perspective as we go through these ever more troubling times. And I think it always helps to remember that, you know, at the end of the day, this isn't something new. What we're going through, what we're seeing in our collapsing societies around us, I mean, it's new to us, but historically speaking, this isn't something new. This is not something that has never happened before. These things have happened. These cycles have taken place. We just have been unfortunate enough to wind up in this one. And so let's look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. We're going to do verses 7 through 11. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. I laugh because I read these things, and I mean, it's just like you could be like reading a description of, you know, of the world around us, of those who rule over us, of the just the society as a whole. It's just, you know, yet this was written so long ago. Picking up at verse 9, therefore is judgment far from us. Now understand here, when he says judgment, doesn't mean God's judgment. He's saying judgment is far from us. There is no justice. There's nobody to stand up and say, no, wait, you can't do this. Judgment is far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. Sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? We look for justice. We look for somebody, and you see people clamor for it, you know? You see people like, oh, you know, this latest insane dictate that's been handed to us. Maybe there will be justice. Maybe there will be judgment. Maybe the courts will say, no, you actually can't do that. And yet, we know that time and time again, it is denied. There is no justice. There is no righteous judgment. Instead, everything keeps steam rolling forward. They make crooked paths, and if you follow those paths, it only leads to destruction. This is the times we live in. You read this and it really conveys what we feel is we're stuck in this collapsing society in this time when everything is coming apart. And you feel we grope along the walls. It's like we can't see. It's like noonday, but it's like we're blind. We look for the light, but we only find darkness. We look around as this society comes apart and we're stuck in it. And it's easy. It's easy to get, shall we say, blackpilled. It's easy to feel like, you know, what's there to be thankful for? How do you be thankful in a time when everything seems so desolate, when the light seems so far from us? And I think one of the things that's important here is to hold on to your center. It's so easy to get caught up in these things, in this collapsing society, to get sucked in with it. You know, I think about like when a ship sinks, like if a ship hits an iceberg, you know, gets a hole and the ship is going down and you're in the lifeboat. Well, you know, you can't just drop that lifeboat down and sit in it, because what's going to happen when that ship sucks down to the water, it's going to suck you right on. You got off the ship, but that doesn't mean you're clear. You're in your little lifeboat, but you got to get clear of that vortex. You got to get clear, because when that thing goes under, it's going to make a suction and it's going to suck you right down with it, even though you're in the lifeboat. So when you get in the lifeboat, you got to paddle that thing. You got to paddle it and get away. You got to get away from it so that you don't get sucked down to it. We've got to stay centered, that we don't get sucked into the darkness, and we don't get sucked in to the collapsing society. The world around us and so many people around us are headed straight to hell. Okay, they literally headed straight to hell. And it's so easy, it's so tempting, it's just to get caught up in all of this noise and all of this confusion and to lose ourselves, to lose that center, to forget who we are, to forget to hold on to that which is good. And we get sucked. We can get sucked right in with it. We can't do that. We've got to hold on to our center. We've got to hold on to Christ, and we've got to hold on to our sanity. Let's go ahead and skip over here to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to do chapter 5. I believe we'll do verses 15 through 23, because I think these are some things to kind of help us keep in mind. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. run. Don't become them. Don't just start becoming them and become as evil and wicked as them. Remember, as we just read in Isaiah, you know, if they create crooked paths and those that follow the path, things are not going to go well for them. You're going to find destruction there. You don't want to get sucked into the paths that they're taking. You don't want to become like them, thinking that you're going to somehow counter them. Now, this shouldn't be misread to think you just become weak. You don't defend yourself. You don't stand up for yourself. That's not what he's saying. Don't render evil for evil. Should you become a liar to counter the liar? How does that even make sense? It's just like trying to fight a fire with gasoline. That doesn't work. If you counter a liar by becoming a liar yourself, you just get sucked into their destruction. You have to count. What are they really afraid of? What makes the words of a truth teller that which they fear, that which they try to shut down, that which they try to persecute? Because it's the truth. If you become a liar just like them to somehow counter their lies, because you think, oh, if I become a liar like them, I can convince more people. Look, it's working for them. They've got this mass of people following their bullshit, following their lies. They got all these. Well, that's what it takes. That's what I'll do. I'll just become a bigger bullshitter than them. And then I'll get everybody to follow me. And then we'll counter these guys and we'll run these people out and we'll turn everything around. And you can't, because you're using the same tools that they're using. And they don't fear it anyway. Why? Because they're the masters of lies. You just always be an apprentice. What they fear is the truth. That's why they shut you down. That's why they shut down the truth tellers. That's why they persecute you. That's why they make you feel socially awkward. They seek to shun you from society. They ban you from every website. They ban you from polite discussion. Those who come in and meet you in public and they know that you were a truth teller, they feel awkward and they feel uncomfortable. Is a badge of honor, for the truth makes them feel uncomfortable. This is the path to success. You don't become them to counter them. You stand above them. That is your place. You stand above them. People read this. Don't do evil. You know, don't render evil for evil. See, that means I'm a doormat. It's amazing, isn't it, how the MCC always finds a way to translate the scripture into be a doormat. Lay there and let people be that guy that went up on the stage and laid on his back with his mouth open and let the woman piss in his face. That must be the most Christian thing ever. That for some reason, they always seem to wind up finding a way to interpret the scripture to mean be weak. Just lay around and let people piss on your face. That's the Christian way. It's insulting. It's an insult to Christ. And it's an insult to Christ through his believers. Let's see, where are we at here? Let's go ahead and pick up, start with verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore because you're not a part of it. It's hard. It's hard. We see the things going around and it's easy to get disheartened and look at this collapsing society around us and get disheartened and feel discouraged, feel blackpilled, whatever you want to say. But remember, you're not a part of it. Yes, we're sucked into the consequences of it. It's pretty hard to escape that. I don't know how you do. I mean, where do you go to get away from it? Russia? Maybe? I don't know. Can you even do that? Because are they going to let you travel without the vaccine? I mean, we're at a kind of a point to where you almost just can't get away from it at all. But rejoice because you're not a part of it. Rejoice because you have not taken up their paths. You have not become them. With all of their pressure, with all of their social pressure, with all of their demonizing, with all of their lies, with all the things they tell against you, you've held fast. You've held fast to the truth. The false prophets and the false teachers and the false preachers that they've put out there to say, this is what you should do. You should happen to do everything that the world wants you to do. That's what Jesus would do, although what Jesus did was the opposite. Should be a doormat. You should let them stomp all over your face. It's what Jesus would do. All of their lies, all of their bullshit, rejoice because you've held out. You've held out. Pray without ceasing. And the important thing to think about here is prayer is getting yourself closer to God. And always remember, I always say this, in your prayers, you're not informing God of anything new. I think prayer has more to do with where you set your heart, with setting your heart and focusing on God. Even if your prayers amount to being nothing more than just praising Him over and over again for remembering you, for not forgetting you, for the fact that your justice is coming in Him, you will see justice in Him. Your hope is in Him. You're not going to pray and inform God about anything. Pray without ceasing. Continue to seek Him without ceasing. Don't get discouraged. Don't take your eyes off the ball. Don't forget who you are. Don't get lost and forget who you are. Don't forget who you belong to. They atomize us, they isolate us, they hyper-individualize us, and they tell us we don't belong to any group. You don't belong to anyone. It's a lie straight up out of hell. You belong. You belong to Him. You were bought for at a price. Never cease to pray. Never cease to remember. You belong. You're not alone. You're out. You're a part of the family of God. Pray without ceasing. Don't forget to keep seeking Him, to try to get closer to Him, to try to understand in whatever way you can. Let's see here. We're not going to get through this if I don't step it up. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God and Jesus Christ concerning you. Now here we get to some thankfulness, don't we? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God and Jesus Christ concerning you. Well, what do you got to be thankful for? You live in a collapsing society. Because this isn't it for you. No matter if things turn around, and we work to turn them around. I mean, obviously we have to do our work. We have to stand for what's right. We stand for truth. And we do what we can to somehow at least hope at some point maybe we can build something back better. Doesn't mean we don't put effort in. But understand that as the society comes down around us, whether we live to see that or not, you know, we are going to come out. As long as we hold to the faith, as long as we don't give up, victory is guaranteed to us. We are not a part of this. I mean, yes, we're in the vicinity of it. Yes, we're trying not to be sucked in by it. Yes, the world is collapsing around us, but we're not a part of it. It's going straight to hell, but we're not. Most of the people you're going to run into on the street, most of the people you work with are going to hell, but you're not. Give thanks. Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. What do you have? Do you have a roof over your head? I mean, maybe a shanty roof, but do you have a roof over your head? Yes. Do you have food? Have you eaten? Give glory to God. You know, we've gotten so, this society has become so shitty and materialistic. It has become so materialistic that we forget the simple things. And I think we're headed very quickly to the time when people are suddenly crashed back down to reality on this. You know, I mean, you've got a roof over your head, you're warm in the winter, and you've got food in your belly. But I don't have a giant new boat like my neighbor does, so my life sucks. You know, this horrible materialistic society is like that. We have more than really most people have ever had throughout history, and yet we're not satisfied with it. Why? Because we don't have a nice car. We don't have a car that's as nice as the neighbor's got. The guy at work has a prettier wife. The the guy, my best friend, has got more playthings than I've got. I think people are headed to a time when reality is fixing to give them a big check here. You got a roof over your head? Give thanks for that. Most people throughout history suffered without those things. Do you have a warm place in the winter? And I know what I mean. Like, you know, back in the day, like if you had like some boards slapped up, they have like a half inch gap between them and the wind's still howling through. But you had some boards thrown up and some boards over your head, they called that a roof, and a fire going in the middle of it. You didn't have to worry about the smoke because the thing's so drafty, the smoke's going out anyway. And that was a roof over your head and warmth. We're not thankful. And we've got central heat. We're nice and toasty, but I just don't have as much. Be thankful for the things, because I think these simple things are going to get a lot more important. You got food, you got a shelter, you got some warmth. Give thanks, give glory to God. Quencheth not the spirit. Don't hold your spirit back. Don't put the fire out. That's where you circle back here. Pray without ceasing. Why? Because you're trying to keep that fire stoked in your spirit. You're trying to remember. You're trying to keep your focus. We're walking in this world. It's so easy to get caught up in the things and the concerns of this world. You all do it. I do it. Everybody does it. Because why? You deal with that all the time. If you spend 30 minutes in prayer every day, you spend multiple times more than any Christian, most all Christian believers. Okay? 30 minutes. What are you doing for the rest of that time that you're not asleep? What are you doing? Well, you're dealing with the bullshit. You're dealing with work. You're dealing with trying to pay your bills. You're dealing with not trying to get caught up in clown world. You're wondering, you know, at what point are they not going to let you buy food because you refuse to get the vaccine? And you're concerned with all of these things and you start losing focus. Don't quench the spirit. Pray without ceasing. The praying without ceasing is how you help not quench the spirit. You're trying to keep that flame going. I was talking about, you know, back in the day, you had a fire in the middle of your dirt floor shelter, and that was your heat. And you didn't want that thing going out. So you're getting up all hours of the night, you know, putting some more sticks on it, try to keep it going. That's why you're praying without ceasing. You don't want to quench the spirit. It's so easy. You're going to get caught up in the things you're trying to deal with. Whether it's at your job, whether it's at your personal relationships, the things around you in the world, the collapsing clown world, all of it. These are distractions. I mean, we have to deal with them. There's reality around us. We have to deal with these things, but we can't let these things quench our spirit. That's why we have to pray. We have to remember. We have to get recentered. Recentered. Remember who we are. Remember that victory is ours. Remember that we belong. We're not isolated. We belong. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. You know, test it out. Don't just see if something is good or if not. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We just got to get to the end. We got to try to keep forming, keep trying to get it right, keep trying to make ourselves, just keep trying to live up to that which we should be living up to. As believers in Christ, the struggle is the point. And so often we get caught up thinking the fact that we're struggling means that we're failing. You know, we struggle in our faith. We're struggling to live this life worthy, to not even have any appearance of evil, but to, you know, really make it real, to live the way we need to live as children of God through Christ. And we can get caught up. We get caught up in this idea that because we're struggling and the struggle's real, and the struggle is way more real now that the entire society is trying to suck everybody down to hell with it. The struggle is real, and we get caught up into thinking because we are struggling, it means we're failing, right? Because if we were good, holy people, and if our faith was what it should be, and we believed in the way that we should, then we wouldn't be struggling. It would just be the easy setting. But it's not. The struggle is the proof. Because we get up, no matter how hard of a struggle it is, we keep getting up each day and we keep doing our best. Even though we screw it up, even though we don't get some things right, we try to do better tomorrow. We try to take a better action tomorrow. We try to live a more upright and a more holy life tomorrow. The struggle is your reminder that He has not abandoned you and you have not abandoned your faith. The struggle is the reminder that you're alive. And that you have hope. With this in mind, even the struggle itself is something to be thankful for. Because we're not on the highway to hell with the world. We're not on like the society that's collapsing around us that says every sort of degeneracy, every sort of sin is A-okay. In fact, it's who you are. You should embrace it. You should just suck it into your body and go right on to hell. We struggle against these things. We struggle against these lies. We speak our truths. We hold fast to that which is good. We cast out that which is evil. We try. We struggle. We work towards a greater understanding. We struggle towards the light. It means we haven't gone over to the world. Yes, of course you're not getting it ready. Of course you're struggling. You've got the shackles on of this body, of this life. You're on this earth. That's kind of the way it's supposed to work. You're shackled to the struggle means you're still alive. And the struggle means your faith is still going. As long as you're struggling, you're still working in the faith. And in this, even in the struggle, you should be thankful. You're not alone. You're not isolated. You're not the only one. You struggle because you were bought at a price through Christ, and now you don't belong to the world, so you're in conflict with the world. It's to be expected. It's a feature, not a bug. You don't fit in here, so of course they're going to hate you. Of course they're going to ostracize you. Of course they're going to lie about you. Of course they're going to call your name or call you names. Praise God, because you're not a part of them. Of course they're going to do it. Everybody acts, Christian believers act like, well, why are they acting like this? Why are they telling lies about me? Why are they slandering me? Why are they demonizing me? Because you're not them. Because you don't fit in. On a spiritual level, they understand that you're not part of their group. You're supposed to be on the highway to hell, and you're not. So, of course, they're going to be hostile towards you. On a spiritual level, they understand. They may not understand it consciously. They may make up all of these reasons and excuses and justifications why they vilify you. But on a spiritual level, that is where they're driven. Because you're not them. You're not a part of their group. You're not in the hell club. You're in the Jesus club. So, of course, they hate you. Of course, they vilify you. Thank God for it. Because you aren't a part of their group. You're not on the highway to hell. You are part of the family of God. And ultimately, we will see justice. All of these liars will be forced to face the truth. They will be. They think they won't, but they will be. The truth will prevail. It's ultimately written. It cannot be any other way. So ultimately, victory is ours. And with that in mind, what is there not to be thankful for? We're going to wrap up the show on that note. Thank you once again. Those of you who aren't shy, pay your tithes. It does very much, is very much appreciated. Helps a lot, especially on the morale front. I tell you, it means a lot to me to hear from y'all. So it is very much appreciated. And I do very appreciate all of you who do tune in and week out. That means a lot as well. So we're going to get on out of here, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. We will be back, and I hope all of you have a thankful and blessed Thanksgiving. We'll see you next time right here at the Parish of the Patriots.